What's up, everybody? It's Rob. It is a Staffing Snacks episode. This week, LJ and I are going to recap the content and some takeaways from the four conferences we attended, which included ASG, the Missouri-Kansas Staffing Association show, Healthcare Staffing Summit by SIA, and the TechServe Executive Summit, which Lauren and I both attended together. Lots of talk of AI, lots of talk about things to think about as you're planning your budget for 2024. Let us know what you think about the episode, and thanks for tuning in.
This episode is brought to you by Leap Consulting Solutions. Digitally transform your business the right way, the Leap way. Visit www.leapconsultingsolutions.com to find out more on how your business can build, change, and adopt technology the right way, the Leap way. What's happening, Rob?
Lauren, it's been a while since we do this, but like riding a bike, you just don't forget how it works.
All right. Well, we were together live, so I mean, a skosh different, but
could use the word skosh. Right?
A skosh, yeah. Don't you know what a skosh is?
I do know what a skosh is, but I also like Nova Scotia.
You got to go all Midwestern, eh?
I was going more Canadian, but you know, whatever.
Oh, well, Canadian, eh? Well, isn't that about the same, eh?
That's Minnesota, and you know, anyone considered the North in Game of Thrones, I guess, for. All right. Well, all right. So, ladies and gents and lovers of a skosh, we are going to recap all of the places we have traveled. It's been a busy, we're finally both home for more than a week, which is nice. And let's recap our conferences. So I will let LJ go first. She attended way more shows than I did, which I'm thankful for.
I mean, after Staffing World came up for a little bit of air, I did things a little bit differently this year. I said no to a few things, which, ladies and gentlemen, you have the power to. Yep. Here's a little self-applaud. Look, you have the opportunity. But you don't always have to take said opportunity if it comes at the expense of your own personal health. And last year, Rob knows that I almost lost my mind with 8 weeks of back-to-back conferences. So this year, I decided to at least give myself, a week in between sprints. And so finished off the conference season year with a two-week sprint that started with ASG, which is awesome.
What does ASG stand for, by the way?
Affiliated Staffing Group. Between Christine and Roy, they just put together a really, really nice event. It is smaller, sort of built for the smaller firm, but there was so much great content that came out of there. We did an AI session that covered, obviously, because that seems to be all I'm talking about this year. Yeah, AI. But we did things a little bit differently. So Maurice Fuller started off with sort of the history of AI and how we got to where we are today. And then I went into today's practical application. And then we finished off with Aaron McKenzie from Newberry covering all of the security concerns that leaders should have and how to put policy around AI and giving people like tangible takeaways. We even gave them Jasper's AI policy framework. So there were so many good morsels of information for owners to walk away with, which was awesome. Then I went straight. And let me tell you, the travel gods were not on my side. They were not on my side. I had to go from Lexington to Lexington, Kentucky to Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville.
Louisville.
How they say it? You gotta like swallow it.
Louisville.
Louisville. And then all the way back to Dallas to go back to Missouri for MKSFA.
Probably easier driving from Kentucky to Missouri.
That was my last resort, was a 5.5-hour drive, which I was here for.
Sounds way more enjoyable than all the flying you did.
I could have at least covered a couple audiobooks.
Yeah.
The Missouri, Kansas, it's an ASG offshoot, ASA offshoot. for that, you know, sort of Midwest region. And man, small but mighty, Jose Rodriguez first is one of the most generous hosts I've ever encountered from a conference perspective. And they had Hannah Pryor doing, so it was sort of a double show between Hannah and I, obviously me covering digital transformation and AI, of course. But Hannah covered, you know, do it awkward, but do it anyway. And then she covered some sales strategies, you know, and she's just such a gifted speaker. So it was an absolute pleasure to spend time with that Midwest team. I'd go back in a heartbeat. And it was awesome. And then it was straight to the racetrack for me. And so came back, went straight to the racetrack, then came and went to what was it called? Velocity. I think it was Velocity that we went to that weekend, which is Yes, it's a racing event, like the most expensive cars in the world, like a Pagani. There for $17.5 million, a $70 million Ferrari. I mean, this was like, let me just tell you,
you gotta sell a lot more consulting.
I know. Cars. I need to sell a lot more AI courses.
Well, that too.
The Pagani was royal navy blue carbon fiber and black carbon fiber wheels. Like, if you're a car nerd, guys, Velocity is where it's at. It was amazing.
Not sure how many we have car nerds that are listeners to this show. So I appreciate you if you are.
If you are, message us
so Lauren and you can be nerds together.
Yes, let's be car nerds together. Watch the MotoGP championship this weekend. That was pretty awesome. Any hoodles. Then we went straight to TechServe, which was awesome. This is a conference near and dear to my heart.
Hosted a panel on what?
AI. I did three. So we did supercharge your agency with AI. Then we did make the most of your technology investment, which was new material for me. It was the last session of the conference. I was just super excited to see at least, you know, an audience, because you never know when you get the last session. Our AI course was standing room only. There was a line going out the door, and then we did.
I did not attend for that reason, by the way. I just looked in there and I started sweating and I walked away.
it got hot in there, but then we did like an ATS like sound off. It was awesome. I did not think when Susan and I, when we, you know, talked about doing this, I did not think anybody would say yes. And Job Diva, Bullhorn, and Mercury came in and they knocked it out of the freaking park. Yeah. Like, how to apply AI within your ATS, standing room only again. Amazing session. Lara from Bullhorn, Jerome from Mercury, and Gus from Job Diva. They just did a tremendous job and some really good questions from the audience. So, you know,
I did attend that one.
Yes. Well, and then the opening was Sam Rad. I mean, I know you were a nerd for her and you got to talk to her for like a good hour.
Yeah, I felt bad afterwards because people were like, hey,
you're hogging up all our time.
We were just BSing. I think my one takeaway from the AI one with the ATS is I really liked the fact that like they did a lot of teaching, which was nice, and just general like broad teaching. And, you know, I think it's important to kind of highlight that. You know, right now we're in this generative mode, right? Like things like generative is like coming in really strong. And then what we've had before is a lot of search and match, right? So AI, ML has been search and match, right? Machine learning, AI. Now we're in this generative phase I think we're getting closer and closer to more of this directive phase as well, where you're helping the recruiter understand the next best step in either a process or like, you know, hey, you know, like you should go look for these type of candidates, maybe, because we see that there's a bunch of jobs. So like directive, right? So you have directive, generative, and search and match, which I loved that they highlighted. Took a picture of that. So that was really fun. I think what was interesting about AI and ML, just to kind of like finish this thread for us, was for IT firms, AI and ML went from being the 15th like if you separate the amount spent by a company, AI and ML went from 15th in 2022 to 8th in 2023. The top three are still big data, like being better at data, which we think is vitally important for automation and AI. Cybersecurity was 2, and then software dev was 3. But they give a 7-point jump for AI and ML, which is really interesting. And I think that's only going to increase next year when we come back to TechSphere.
Gartner did a CIO, they do their CIO predictions. And so 68% of enterprise organizations are going to be investing in AI, with cybersecurity obviously being, top concern, big data. But AI, by 2025, this will be number one priority. There's still a lot of big data cybersecurity issues that we've got to wrap our arms around, particularly with AI now coming in and creating some scuttlebutt around security.
Yeah.
That's what we'll all call it, scuttlebutt.
I feel like there's a good rap song or a good remake of like a Naughty by Nature song where you're like, you're down with PII and then, you know me. Anyway, so let's keep PII out of AI, right?
Yes.
Anyway, lots of acronyms today. It's very fantastic. So I thought that was super interesting. Jumping back to Sam Rad, we had a lot of fun. The conversation was really cool. Shout out to Sam for highlighting our takeaways from her keynote the other day. But I loved the NBA versus unhirables conversation that she had with us very briefly, where you had like these, and I think this has been coming, where you have these self-directed people who have taught themselves to code, to edit video, kind of like creator types who, I think this is like too broad of a stroke, but like might have tattoos, might seem like they're unhirable, right? But
I loved that question because, when I looked at the screen, she had Mr., middle-aged white guy in his suit with a tie. He's the MBA. He's got all of these, sort of straight and narrow accolades. And then you have the guy with dreads on the other side of the screen with some tattoos. He's a musician. He's got but he's got all this creativity. And,
Herself.
Yeah. I asked the person next to me, I'm like, which one would you choose? And, they said the MBA guy because it was safer. And of course, my inclination was to go with a creative. I think that's why we get along, because that's who I tend to hire just in general. I love neurodivergence because they think differently. And I just love the creative because they don't take a straight line to, the end point. And
I have the photo, by the way. I have a photo of the slide in front of me. So she did.
Fascinating.
I'll walk you guys through it because we're, you didn't see this, but it was Team A, MBA, the subtitle was MBA all the way. So they know Microsoft, they know Salesforce, they know financial analysis, and they know problem solving. Whereas you have Team B, which was titled the unhirables, which you have like, they speak 8 languages, they've traveled to a bunch of different countries, self-taught on video creation tools and AI, NFT trader or manages decentralized team of 1,000 people, learned Ableton at 14, I'm not even sure what that is, but makes side income creating AI music, self-taught engineer and linguist, develops language models in spare time, and a white hat hacker. So like, to Lauren's point, right? Like, you have the traditional versus the, it's almost like the pirate, which I love. Like when you're you're kind of talking about how you fit into a business. Like, are you a pirate? You kind of fit into a startup better, or are you a, an MBA, or you're just very comfortable helping to scale up, right? You already grown, you're big, and you can fit better in and solve the problems for the bigger org. Neither one's wrong. It's just very different type of people. So,
Ableton just for our listeners is for music makers.
Yeah, I figured. Okay.
Technology for music makers. But yes, I just love this idea that we're broadening the way that we think about people. The amazing skills that they can bring to the table. And they just don't have to look the same. They don't have to talk the same. They don't have to come from, similar backgrounds. We don't need carbon copies of the same person. And I think that will help just inherently with diversity. The more that we can just look at, what people can bring to the table, regardless, I think
outcome versus status quo.
Outcome versus status quo. And that will be the future of work. I'm telling you this. It will be outcome based. And we're going to see a lot of fractional roles going on here because we're looking for specific outcomes. And that's the future of work is outcome-based hiring. And yeah. I think you'll see job descriptions completely change to what the desired outcome is. I think we'll see resumes, you know, they've already started morphing into this is what I've accomplished. This is what my successful outcomes have been. So putting those two things together, I think is like, that's the future. But then of course, after TechServe, which the only thing I was bummed about is we just got the gloom and dooms in Florida. Like,
why? Oh yeah. Our economist. Yeah.
Yes.
Alan was not I don't want to share because like I feel like, you know, that's his proprietary info, but wasn't all good. So go follow Alan on ITR. He's an economist. So we'll put him in the show notes so you can go follow him.
Weather, Rob, not Alan.
Oh, the weather was bad. Well, the weather and the economic outlook were both.
The weather and the economics. But, you know, since you bring that in, I guess it is a perfect segue. I mean, although Alan always makes it entertaining. You know, talking about, you know, 2024 being about holding on and 2025, you know, we're turning it around. And then what is it? 2030 is when we go into more of a depression, a pretty significant depression. So this is the time to buckle down and prepare, guys. So we've got 5 years to, you know, hustle
make
it up.
Make some money.
So,
anyway.
Make some money.
I want to
get your head. Wrapping up, though, I finished, went directly from the airport to
the racetrack.
And which was Lucky Dog. So my two brothers, my father-in-law, my husband, and then my brother's father-in-law all did the Lucky Dog, which is 1,000 mile or I think it's 1,000 miles or 13 hours, whichever comes first, race. So it was super fun. And then I came home and passed out.
I would too. And so anyway, maybe just to wrap up TechServe, obviously IT budgets are impacted by interest rates. So spending on, you know, staff aug is a little bit more challenging with the interest rates the way they are. It was very fascinating seeing the way that interest rates go down, the shorter the Fed chairman is, or not the Fed, yeah, no, the Treasury Secretary at that point. But Janet Yellen was really good because she was a tiny woman. But the next guy is very tall, so interest rates went up. So there you go. So it's basically we need to keep hiring Willy Wonka's Oompa Loompas for being the head of within the Treasury of the Fed chair. Anyway, I don't want to be rude to short people because I'm very short. And then finally, I think this is the best thing that Alan always says because he did it last year. He's like, guys, if you think that the person in the White House, the party in the White House actually affects the economy, you are kidding yourself. He showed us a slide about all kinds of stats that just was basically like, if anyone tells you otherwise, they are not paying attention and they have no idea what they're talking about economically. The person in the White House does not matter. Party, red, blue.
He says they have no control.
They have no control. So like, yeah. Let's get rid of that narrative. All right. I want to get through SIA and I need to go because I have a hard stop in about 5 minutes. So SIA Healthcare Staffing Summit was fantastic. We were out in Vegas at Red Rocks. I got to hang out with Aaron.
So much FOMO.
Eric McKenzie and Chris from your team, as well as all the other partners. Got to run into my buddy Matt Dichter from Staffing Engine and Jay Cuddy, who I know you're familiar with, and all those good folks. So a couple key things. This is one of my favorite, is the leading healthcare staffing businesses, the ones that grew and are doing the best, focused the most and led in surveys on three things. They led on pay, makes sense. They led on trust and being trustworthy, and they led on transparency. So those three factors with your healthcare providers seem to be a great indication of success for your business. That could probably work for everyone, every type of staff. For healthcare providers, burnout is a big issue right now. And I think I posted about this while I was there. Healthcare providers are a leading cause of burnout is not the workload. It's not the patient load. It is being treated with respect and being feel and then those providers not feeling like they're being treated with respect, which again, probably could go everywhere. If people are valuing your hard ass work, you're less likely to burn out. Some hard truths. Sales and recruiting are both equally difficult for healthcare staffing firms. So I thought that was fascinating. Normally recruiting is dramatically harder. There are a couple of cool slides about it. The cost of contract labor in healthcare since 2019 increased 258%, which ties into another fact that we wanted to highlight. And I come from locums recruiting, so physician staffing. The agencies did not increase the margin. They actually decreased their margins during the pandemic. They do not feel bad for them because they did make money because there was a volume play and there was lots of people who needed to be cared for. And the providers were putting themselves at risk and asked for more money. So the bill rates went up, the margins went down. They didn't suffer. The staffing companies did not suffer. But there's a lot of legislation like going after these healthcare staffing companies in the country. And I don't think it's fair. Again, you don't need to feel bad for them, but they really went out of their way to help get healthcare providers to these hospitals and people who needed care. And they weren't gouging the margin. They decreased the margin because it was more volume, right? But I think there's some misunderstanding there. So I want to highlight that. And healthcare staffing in general, there's a really great panel at the end. And they're like, we just need to do a better job of telling our story and like what we do. We're not very good at it. And I think that's another thing that goes across all of staffing and recruiting. We're not very good at telling our stories. And that makes our life more difficult when it comes to sales. So, and maybe even recruiting, maybe more inbound methodology for recruiting. If we get better at telling the story of how we add value to every part of our economy.
Well, and we need everybody to call Mark Smith because he does such a phenomenal job of helping people tell their stories. We're going to have him on, guys. Wait for this episode because Mark is one of the most eloquent people I've ever encountered. But putting framework around your story and how to make it a part of your culture, that's his jam. And we're going to have him on to speak about this because the power of it you cannot dispute. It's undisputable, the power of being able to tell a story or tell your story and have people be, attracted to that. So I can't wait to have him on.
All right. Well, I got to run. LJ, this was fantastic.
For awesome, guys, Rob.
Let us know what your takeaways are or what your thoughts are. We just recapped 4 conferences for you pretty quickly. If you're not following Sam Rad, that's what she goes by on LinkedIn. Or Mark Smith, I think it's spelled SMYTH, right?
That is correct.
And Story Dynamics is the business I think that he's affiliated with at the moment. But go follow those guys. Again, we're going to have Mark on. LJ wants to have Sam on, so we're going to go ask her if she will share some futurist. She's an anthropologist who's a futurist and learned how to code. She's fascinating. But anyway, all right, I'll let you roll. And thanks for tuning in, guys.
Make it a great day. Thank you for listening to the You Own the Experience podcast.
You can catch all our previous episodes at whyowepodcast.com and learn more about our thriving staffing community by signing up for the Why We newsletter.
And coming soon is Staffing Huddle, an online open community dedicated to your staffing success.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Lauren. Go do something good.
Bye, guys.